Oh, man. We got to talk about this genome stuff.
Yeah, please.
So,
in your box.
Oh, man. I don't know where to start. Do you know what that paper is talking about when it says that there was only 12, or they found 12 to 27% misalignment?
Yeah. It's the full sequence of the chimpanzee genome for the first time, removing biases, and they lined up the genome to human genome, and it's not 98% similar. It's 86.
Well, the whole genome was never said to be 98. The whole genome is said to be 95, and they're still sticking with that number. But
why? Because they don't care about data?
No, because so
because it doesn't fit their worldview.
No, trust me, none of this is a problem for us. I can concede on all the points. It still isn't a problem, but we're misunderstanding what's going on here. So
we as me, and go ahead and make it make sense then.
Yeah, so I got to ask the same question again. Do you know what they specifically mean by misalignment?
So there's obviously, as they do the data comparisons of the genome, there's LTRs, there's duplications.
Yes.
There's a bunch of different ways to compare this information. So I think it's just that it's a more, where they had duplications, they assumed, you know, whatever, they either didn't align them, or they assumed an alignment. In this one, it's more of a one-to-one alignment, actually taking the gene code and comparing it to our gene code.
That's pretty close. So to draw an analogy for everybody, let's say you had a sentence written out, and the sentence said, VOR versus Planet Peterson is totally awesome. That's the sentence. And then you write the sentence again, and you write, VOR versus Planet Peterson is totally awesome. How different are those two sentences? Well, scientists have to figure out what is the best way to compare them. Now, if you were to type those out, what you would see is something analogous to a frameshift mutation. The extra word is that's been inserted there pushes everything that comes after it off, so literally nothing after that point matches. But from the standpoint of comparing the information contained in those two sentences, it would be really weird to say that we could actually count what that would be for those two. We would just divide the number of letters total versus what comes after it. In that case, we would find, if we treated it that way, we would find that those sentences are only 75% similar, roughly. That's just my top of the head guess math. But I think intuitively we can all understand that that doesn't actually seem to be a very fair or honest comparison. Instead, what we can say is, yes, they have a difference, but one sentence is literally 100% contained in the other. Scientists have different methods for comparing that kind of thing, because exactly what I just said happens in the genome too. One extra thing getting added can frame shift everything that comes after it off, or a deletion or a duplication, where those things can all do that. But what they do, and you kind of alluded to this, is they know when they're looking at a duplication, for example, or a single deletion, or like a small, doesn't have to be single nucleotide, but a small deletion that shifts everything over. But if we just put it back to where it originally was, then we get then we see that it's totally aligned. So when we say geneticists are ignoring these sorts of things, they're not really doing that. They're taking what is aligned, what they know is aligned, and they're saying, okay, how good are the aligned segments? And then obviously they do allow for things to get thrown out because we have divergence. Now, there's a key point to that I want to add, but I just talked for about 3 minutes there, so say whatever you want to say.
Say what you mean to say. I'm just going to sing at you instead. Okay. I mean, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is you're mentioning a sentence, which is obviously information, a string of information. So it's interesting that both you and Gutstick Gibbons, have used the argument you just made. to me, obviously, I believe DNA is information. So, I mean, obviously, I would want to talk about if this is data aligned in a sentence and it's arranged in one way or another. This sure seems like a consciously designed thing. So that's a sub point, that the sentence thing, and I know you guys are going to use that because it's quite literally an alpha code. I mean, we assign, it's quaternary code, and we assign letters to it. But so that would be the first thing that comes to mind. The next thing is, I understand why you guys are on damage control and you're marginalizing this
it's
data.
Not damage control.
Disagree that where they thought we were 98% or you say 95, the number is now 86% divergent?
No, we're not at all.
86% similar, 14% divergence.
No, because like that study you were bringing up, it finds like the range is between 12.5 to 27.3. That's the misalignment. So, it reflects the technical alignment difficulties in those complex regions, not true biological sequence diversion. So you can't just take that figure from that study and then say, now that humans and chimps are only this much closely related. So
it's such a problem that you're saying that, because you say that, but you guys have been beating the drum for years, tens of years now, that you're 98% aligned. And so now that it's 86%, you're like, well, it's not true. It's like, you know, it kind of is if you look at it a certain way, but it's as true as the 98% number. You have to.
Well, the 98% number is just the protein coding sequences, and that's still preserved. This other thing, look, so everything I said about the way they account for misalignments, if you want to go ahead and use all, like, not throw out the stuff that makes it misaligned, if you want to go ahead and do that, then it doesn't even matter. I can grant that. And for a lot of reasons. One of the big reasons is, if you take, so you and I are both humans, and we both have Y chromosome. Because, like, if you compare a male and a female, oh, the Y chromosome, well, the male and the female then are going to be only 95% similar. Well, we know that it doesn't make any sense to say two humans are only 95% similar because one has two X chromosomes and one only has a Y chromosome, right? We would say humans are 100% genomically or genetically, not necessarily identical. That would just be for identical twins, but similar, right? But you and I, we wouldn't have to compare you and I. But anyways, if you take that method of keeping all the stuff they normally throw out to try to fix the alignment, what you find is when you compare a sample of human DNA to, they have, I can't remember what the word for it is, but there's a base human genome that they use to do all the comparisons between species. They do that for every species. But if you compare a random human to the baseline human genome, it's only 93% similar.
Okay.
So, like, if this somehow, like, if by lowering the number proves, oh, therefore humans and chimps, I guess, aren't related, the science was wrong, it shows that if you compare a human genome to the library's base human genome, they're only 93%. So then you would say that those two humans are a different, right. You'd have to say that they're a different species or they're not related, which that's not the case. So lowering the number is not really a threat to the paradigm of evolution for more reasons than just that, but I'll let you get the next thing here.
So the big thing I wanted to hit on, because obviously you heard me speaking on it and I don't want to speak incorrectly. You know, I have my bias. If I'm misrepresenting the science, you can correct me. My understanding, and I hear what you're saying, there's a lot, it's 6 billion bits of information with, you know, the human genome and whatever the chimp genome is, very similar, right. I imagine. So aligning these is very difficult. But my understanding is using the same systems of getting rid of duplicates and, like you said, misalignments, all these things, doing it the same way that they were doing the incomplete chimpanzee genome, went from 96, or, you know, the internet, everybody says 98, down to 86. And just using, like, and I hear you, like, there's problems with it because there's still assumptions and you're still manipulating the data. And even in the paper, it talks about biases. there has to be bias inherently in interpreting this data, because you're either not going to go through all of it, or in the case of the chimpanzee genome, it wasn't complete. So they took their bias and they built a model, and they did the, you know, how complete, how similar is the human and chimp genome, and they got 98%, or you're saying 96. Then they actually got a more complete or fully complete chimpanzee, which I don't know what it was before, 30%, 60% complete, whatever. They did the same methodology, and that number went down. So to me, when I hear you saying this, I hear you saying that, you know what, we said 98 or 96, but that really wasn't trustworthy because it was like kind of interpreting the data a certain way. And so now you're, in my opinion, you're marginalizing the new findings at the cost of invalidating the old number.
So I wouldn't say I'm doing that. Something that is, so I'm just going to nitpick something, and I'm not like attacking you over this, but genome, when you use the 98% number, that's how similar our protein coding regions are. That's our genetic similarity, but that's only 1 or 2% of the entire genome. When you compare the entire genome, right. We never said it was 98%, but people confuse genome and genes for pretty obvious reasons. That number is said to be around 95%. So this reduction you're talking about is a genome-wide analysis. I haven't seen whatever the number is supposed to be for specifically only the protein coding sequences. If they try to use...
That number didn't change. The number didn't change in the protein coding regions, my understanding.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know why they wouldn't try to reduce it. But anyways... So some other things, I don't like, again, I should probably get into why none of this is an issue for me and why I don't think it's an issue for the paradigm of science. If the numbers turn out to be different than we thought and they turn to be out lower, that's new information and that's cool. I agree. It would probably take time to become, more like widespread or whatever. And that's a little bit annoying. Accepted. Sure. But even if it was accepted right away, it would take forever for like it to get published enough times and said enough times
that
people
information
actually
to trickle down. Into
yes. Trickle down information. Yes. But anyways, so
but
like
really quickly before you go to the next thing, I just Google search how similar are humans and chimpanzee DNA. Humans and chimpanzees show a remarkable high degree of genetic similarity. Exact figures vary based on comparison method. It's generally accepted that humans and chimpanzees are at least 96% identical.
Yeah.
And then 98 and 99 in protein coding regions. So this, if it is 86, and again, this is the first time we've had a full, this is crazy. They never admitted this with the 96%. It's 96%, but we're assuming a lot because we don't have the full genome. In theory, with the new, more detailed, more complete genome, that number should drop from 96 to 86 and maybe even lower. And I think that's going to be, you know, well, let's talk about what it means for evolution. But obviously, to me, I'm seeing another one of these pillars of these bullshit theories crumble in real time. We're seeing, whether it's the James Webb destroying the Big Bang, issues with abiogenesis, it's another vestigial structures, junk DNA. We did every few years, something comes out and it's like, well, shit, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, so I don't view this as a problem at all because what evolution...
It's not good news.
I would say
it work, but it's not.
It has the potential to be a little bit annoying, but again, it doesn't threaten the paradigm at all because what evolution specifically predicted a really long time ago was that humans would be more closely related to the great apes. Now, what people actually thought was that... the like chimps and gorillas would be more closely related to each other, and then we would be would have branched off from a common ancestor between the three of us before they diverged. That turned out to not be true. We're more closely related to chimps than gorillas, and chimps are more closely related to us than gorillas, which was pretty surprising. But even if new data brings these numbers down, it would still mean that we're related to chimps and we would still be more closely related to them than anything else. If somehow a genome sequencing method or a gene sequencing method came out that blew up the relationships because the predicted hierarchical nature of those relationships is still always preserved even when you do this. If it all of a sudden said, well, now it turns out humans are more closely related to pineapples than anything else. And we could verify
ridiculous
by doing comparisons within species, that this new method always works within the species, then that would be something. But no, even if we bring the numbers down, we're still going to be more closely related to chimps than we are to anything else, and vice versa, which is still a prediction of evolution. So it doesn't threaten the paradigm.
You heard it here, folks. The theory is foolproof, and the data doesn't matter. I'm kidding. I'm strawmanning your argument, but I do want to clarify what I mean by that. Of course, so we're going to be more related.
Clear, though, because you're joking, but there's part of what you're saying that's not joking. But I think you didn't understand what I said. I didn't say even if the data turned out to be different. What I really meant was, no, you did come up with a new method. If we go with whatever this information that evolutionnews.com is saying, we have it. Okay. I didn't really mean if. We do have a method that gets you lower numbers, but it still preserves what is predicted by evolution. That's why it's not a problem.
Right. Well, and so, I mean, obviously, I got everybody in my chat freaking out about me being dishonest. Eric and I have been debating for years now. We go back and forth. It's usually fairly cordial, at least when we debate, and then he goes off and talks shit about me behind my back. But when we talk together, it's fine. We usually get along pretty well because we look the same. We're basically proof of evolution. Look at us. But what I do mean by that is the data, this is a big problem. I don't think we spend the whole time on this. There's a lot of things we can debate about. This is a problem. A 10% reduction is huge. But what he's saying is we are still more related to chimpanzees than pineapples. So basically, it doesn't matter, even though the greatest evidence for evolution is this nested hierarchy and the genetic similarities, we're still more related to chimpanzees than pineapples. So evolution will always be true, even if the fossils don't support it, even if there's whatever kind of other issues. What's true because we look more like chimps and we're more genetically related to chimps than pineapples, so the theory is true. And to me, I just say, you know, what's the word I want to say here? It's like a poppycock. That's the word. Of course, we're going to be more related to a chimpanzee than a pineapple. Look at our structure. We have proteins and meat, and we breastfeed and we give birth to live birth. So of course, if there's a program that runs the 3D printing that is a life form, you know, the gene code that builds us, of course, something that looks similar to us, made of a similar material to us, bipedal, you know, with four limbs and with the things that we have, of course, we're always going to be more similar to them than pineapples. And like, at what point in your guys' theory did you just get to plant a flag in that and say, we're more related by DNA to a chimp than a pineapple, therefore common ancestry is true? It's a ridiculous claim. Like, I could take a claim.
Well, that's not how it happened. It happened the other way. We predicted that we would be more related in the ways that the taxonomic systems were laid out beforehand. And there was some microscopic reshuffling, like us and chimps being more closely related than chimps are to gorillas, which is what they initially thought. But you're kind of acting like it went the other way. Oh, here we have the genetic data. Okay, this is now the evolution data. No, we predicted the genetic data, and it evolution could have been falsified by genetics. I wouldn't say that evolution is proven by genetics, but that's just kind of more of a philosophical, scientific thing of nothing is ever proven, you know, like not in an absolute sense or anything. But it absolutely was confirmatory. You're talking about design now, and I do want to talk about design, but not right now. I want to spend a little bit more time on this thing about the genome number going down. And there's two issues I have with this. Two additional issues I have with this that are a little bit kind of confusing from your viewpoint here. Now, I get that you reject the idea of billions of years, and I get that you reject the idea of evolution or whatever, but if we
define evolution, but yeah, fine. Common ancestry, I certainly reject.
Sure, fair enough. But if we take what you believe about biology in general and what can happen through like micromutations or whatever, what you do accept as being real, and then if that's how you think the world works, and then we say, okay, well, what if things are billions of years old? I'm not asking you to necessarily take my position. I'm just taking you Or I'm just asking you to.
I'll grant you that. If speciation is real and microevolution is real, as some of the young earth creationists define, and you give us 4 billion years, then yes, biodiversity is possible. If that's if I were to concede that in the time, which is part of the reason I don't concede.
So a question I would have that makes this a little bit goofy to me is, let's say that we're only 85% genetically similar to chimpanzees.
Okay.
In your view, we have this thing, and I don't want to change the subject to this topic for tonight, but you believe in like genetic entropy, right? And the accumulation of you believe that deleterious mutations, but creationists tend to think that mutations accumulate rather quickly if they hold to a genetic entropy framework viewpoint or whatever. Well, if you guys believe in that, then wouldn't 85%, wouldn't that actually be an extraordinarily high amount of relatedness between us and chimps in your view? Because we've been accumulating these differences for 7 million years. We diverged from chimps 7 million years ago. So like the idea that, it's not as high as we thought. Well, in your worldview, if it has really been that long, then this wouldn't disprove that. It would actually be consistent because you guys think mutations and stuff accumulate pretty rapidly.
I lost the train of thought there. I think are you saying if I believed it was 7 million years or in my world, in my time frame, which
I'm not asking for your time frame. I'm asking you, take what you accept as like the what we can observe the way things are. You guys tend to accept a higher rate of mutation accumulation and things like that, right? Now, if take your world, I'll allow you to have your worldview on. Like the matter of fact, what we can see with our eyes, right? Now, can you use that to disprove the theory of evolution by looking at the genome? Well, I think by pointing to, the number went down, you're trying to poke holes in it. But what I'm telling you is, well, if you take the way you think it operates and then say, let me use this to do an internal critique of evolution to prove that it's nonsense. Well, no, actually, 7 million years ago is how long ago we diverged from chimps. So the fact that our genomes would be 85% still the same is actually, like, if you guys believe that mutations accumulate so much, that is the kind of thing you would expect to see.
Okay, so hopefully I answer this correctly. If not, just reframe it so I can understand. So I do believe that there is such a thing. I'm not fully adherent to John Sanford. I mean, he's one guy working this out. And with Young Earth Creation, we get one scientist who is immediately deemed a lunatic and, a nut job. And he has to fund himself. And so we don't have the access to the sciences that, evolution has. So, I'm not like John Sanford's theory is perfect and it's scientifically rigid. I think the framework he operates in is what we see with the way that the mechanism of reality works. Entropy always increases. We do see that we are accruing more deleterious mutations than beneficial. It's something like 20 or 50 or 100 to 1. Yes, through recombination, some of those deleterious mutations can be staved off, but we see far more deleterious mutations than beneficial. So assuming all things the same, adhering to some kind of version of uniformitarianism, that this rate of decay is the same, like we know obviously you guys do with bathymetric dating. Actually, I agree to bathymetric and carbon dating. This rate being the same, we're on a trajectory of aggregating mistakes or mutations. As far as it relates to the human chimp genome, I believe that this similarity that we have, the 86% similarity, is because of a similar designer, obviously. You mentioned earlier, DNA, this is a prediction we made. Well, obviously, you guys didn't predict DNA, and when Watson and Crick discovered DNA and saw that it was information, they were sorely vexed because, as atheists, it looked like information. So nobody predicted DNA, although you could say Darwin, alluded to something like it. As far as if we could have, young Earth creationists, when DNA was discovered, made a prediction, I think it would have been very reasonable to say a designer is going to reuse code where he can. Therefore, the more similar something is physically, the more similar the DNA is going to be. So that's
we're not on the question I asked. So
okay, let me finish my last part, and then you can tell me where I'm wrong in it. As far as the 7 million years, I don't grant you 7 million years. in 7,000 years. I don't grant you common ancestry, so that's why I'm not fully understanding the question. I don't think we diverged from them. I don't think that it was 7 million years. I think that obviously the ARC happened 5,300 years ago. They were their own, and they are aggregating their own deleterious mutations, and we are aggregating our own deleterious mutations separately. So I don't, does that help?
What I'm trying to point out is you're using data that says the genome similarity went down. But you guys believe that mutations accumulate faster than typical secularists think it happens. So I don't understand why finding out that our genomes are a little bit more divergent than we thought would be a problem. Because you're trying to internally critique. Again, I'm not asking you to agree with my worldview, but if you're going to say I can use the genetics to prove that the timeline makes no sense or whatever, well, actually, I think it does make perfect sense given that you guys think that more like mutations accumulate more than we tend to think they would. So yeah, even if our genomes were more divergent, that would be just, that wouldn't preclude, disprove in any way common ancestry with them. I think I have a different question that it's about the exact same thing and it might be more constructive.
Yeah, I just I'm trying to understand. It's obviously it could be that it's a me thing. I'm just unsure if you're asking me to agree inside of common ancestry inside of the 7 million years. That's the part of it I'm unclear on. Which, because we were talking about my worldview or your worldview, I'm just not sure what you're asking, and that could be a me thing. And if you want to, it could take us a little bit get me to understand what you're asking. I'll try to answer it the best I can, but I don't think I'm getting it. Sorry.
What I'm trying to say is, look, if I. What would be more, I'll kind of flip it on you.
Okay.
I could try to use science to prove that your Bible is false, right? But sure. I think what would be more powerful is if I internally critiqued you. I used the Bible to prove that some claim you have about the Bible is false. Okay. I'm not going to do that right now, but you've probably done that. You've said to other Christians probably before, no, your interpretation of that verse is wrong, or no, your translation is not exactly right. You're doing an internal critique, which is more powerful and effective. By saying, oh, the number went down, you're trying to internally critique. You're not using the Bible. You haven't invoked religion, really, not really at all, but you're trying to say the science undermines what the scientists have been telling us. But I'm telling you, even if the number goes down, you believe scientifically in like there's a lot of stuff with, well, I don't know how much we agree on, but like you believe in a kind of evolution, right? Mm-hmm. You believe that the mutations and therefore the genetic divergence accumulates faster than a typical secularist person with a worldview on this does. So
I see the problem. I think
if our genomes are less similar than we thought, then that's just consistent with you guys being right about the rate at which it diverges, but just wrong about the timeline.
I got you.
Because the time, there's no contradiction in timelines or anything with this.
Right. So I get you. And yeah. If common ancestry were true, and this number could be lower because actually, you know, this rate of divergence is happening very quickly. So, and I'm happy to concede that. Yes, of course. If common ancestry happened, and if divergence is happening faster than the evolutionists thought, but the creationists do think, then this could be a piece of evidence in favor of that. The thing is, obviously, I don't believe in common ancestry. And when we talk about divergence, I don't know I'm not understanding the science, but divergence and deleterious are different things. So divergence is the difference between any two things. So how much are we different, divergent from one thing to another? So the chimp to human divergence is one thing. Aggregating deleterious mutations is another. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. You can have humans rapidly gaining deleterious mutations, but we're not diverging from anything except for a better genome in the past. I think that's part of why I wasn't understanding what you were saying, but divergence and deleterious aren't the same thing. I don't agree with common ancestry. All I think this is very simply saying is they wanted, and this is why I covered it tonight. I didn't even have my paper ready. This is another time where science was celebrating the data that supported evolution. Again, quick examples. Vestigial structures, junk DNA, the fossil record. And then as more data comes out and a better understanding, they're not used to support this anymore because they're not as strong. science currently, when, as they're defending evolution, and I obviously debate people on here all the time, just like you do. Actually, I debate obviously the opposite worldview than you do. But the nested hierarchy, genetic similarity, this is the number one thing that's really driving this evolutionary synthesis. So it dropping by a huge percentage is, and this is what I just pointed out, it doesn't disprove evolution. It just means that that piece of evidence that we are closer related to chimpanzees than, you know, rats or mice or whatever is another piece of evidence falling by the wayside. And the thing, the reason why I covered it tonight, the guy said,
that's not true, though.
Well, according to evolution, we were closer related to chimps than rats were to mice.
Yeah, they're only like 70%. But let's say that they're 90%. And we always said that we're 95 if you're going genome, 98 with the protein coding sequences. Okay, well, it dropped to 85, but you haven't done the same comparison that was done in this updated ape paper with the rats. So, like, what you did there was you said, oh, the human chimp number went down, all the other numbers stayed the same. No, this technique wasn't applied to any of them. There hasn't been a direct comparison.
Dude, I just Googled it. How similar are rats to mice? Rats and mice are quite similar genetically, sharing 93% of their nucleotide sequences, 93.9% of their amino acids. Both rats and mice have a large number of shared genes, with an estimate suggesting 90%. So, the example I just brought up, if
did I say 70? I think that's for foxes and wolves. Yeah, that's for wolves and foxes.
Right. I just threw out this idea, roughly thinking that they used to, because I used to hear Gutstick, Gibbons, Erica, and a lot of people say this thing. We're closer related to chimpanzees than mice are to rats. And it's like, and so I threw that out. But it's, yeah, if this is true, then the tables have flipped, and rats and mice are now closer related than humans and chimps. So yet another talking point. This is why the levity of this, why I brought up, and you know my channel, and you know I love taking new issues with science and blasting it. That's what I do here. So this one, and I haven't even made a video on it yet, but this, to me, this is a big one. And sure, everybody's gonna go, it's fine. Again, Erica and I were even engaged in comments in her chat about this. I'm like, you know, classic scientific propaganda, marginalizing it, explaining it. Like, it felt to me when she was doing this video was like, everybody, everything's okay, calm down. And she did like this hour and a half of scientific spin. And it's embarrassing. I want to make a video on how much of just, she's a scientific communicator, but how much she's just trying to downplay this. So if in the next year, it turns out that data was wrong and it's actually still 96%, then I'm going to need to eat crow. If this stands, you will be hearing videos. I will be making videos on this. Young Earth Creation is going to have a heyday with it. And currently, the only people covering this, if you Google it, are Young Earth Creationists. Science, scientific communicators, mum. Mum's the word. They're not talking about it. They're not talking about it. And there's a reason, because it's not what the theory predicts, and it's not better evidence than you had, you know, a month ago.
I mean, you literally read about it on a paper that's publicly available. And so this sounds like the flat earth thing where they say, oh, NASA admits in all of their publicly available stuff that we never actually did go to the moon. It's like, no, they don't.